Marco Werman here. You're with The World. Let me ask you something. What do the TV shows Homeland, In Treatment, and Ugly Betty have in common? They're all adaptations. Homeland and In Treatment were originally produced in Israel. Ugly Betty, or Betty La Fea, was originally a Colombian soap opera. Okay, so occasionally U.S. networks buy and adapt foreign TV shows for American audiences. But foreign networks and distributors also do that in the opposite direction. James Cramer is a TV executive who's traveled around the world adapting American shows for global audiences. He got his start working with TV execs and writers in post-Soviet Russia.
What they had was great enthusiasm, but no experience in Russia. So they brought over several people, including me, to kind of give the American technology, both the equipment and how to use it, and the kind of creative technology of building a television writing staff and production schedule. So they had me come over to teach a writing class for 2 weeks. These were very talented people, but without much experience. And part of the point of this class was to identify the people who were kind of likely candidates to become writers for these shows. And out of that group, we put together our writing staff for The Nanny and Ugly Betty.
For you, what was the biggest TV culture shock in terms of how Russian audiences view TV and how the producers kind of produce TV?
My 2 weeks there ended up becoming 6 years because they asked me to stay and run the production office for Sony in Russia.
Wow.
But when I got there, their taste was entirely soap opera. In the 90s, when they couldn't afford to produce much and they couldn't afford to buy much, all they could really afford were Latin American telenovelas. So the Russian audience, after the end of the Soviet Union, got used to watching shows from Latin America. There was one called The Rich Also Cry, which was very popular, and one called Isauro the Slave. And the first American one was Santa Barbara, of all things. And I'd actually worked on it. So when people saw my resume, you know, there were shows I'd worked on, like St. Elsewhere and Moonlighting and things that had won awards here, but they didn't know them. But Santa Barbara was, oh, my God, maximum respect. So that was one sort of television culture shock.
That background of living with all those telenovelas for so many years in the Soviet Union, I mean, you were right on track because you helped to launch Ugly Betty there, which, as I said earlier, started as a TV show in Colombia. Mike, our engineer, actually has the Russian theme song all queued up for the Russian version of Ugly Betty. So let's just let's just hear that. Hit it, Mike. James, you know what they're saying there?
I do, actually, and I have huge goosebumps, which, of course, you can't see on the radio, because the song was not only beautiful, it became an enormous success on its own. It's basically saying, don't look around, be yourself, be true to yourself. A very simple song, but in Russian it sounds much better. If in your heart lives love.
If in your heart lives love. What does the title Ugly Betty translate to in Russian?
It was called «Не родись красивый». I ended up learning Russian when I was there, which turned out to be kind of useful. It was based on a Russian proverb that said, it's better to be born ugly and happy than beautiful.
Okay. That kind of works, at least for a Russian context. So you worked with the Russian TV writers to translate each episode. What were the challenges of that? I mean, any major fails?
There were many issues of things in Ugly Betty that just weren't Russian, and these were daily arguments. The fundamental story was a fashion design company which had been in a family for several generations, and then there were the two sons who were fighting for the right to run the company. That was the plot. Mm. And then it was told through the eyes of the unattractive secretary who was in love with her boss. But in Russia, there was no history of family business because, you know, the Soviet Union had been there until, you know, really the end of the 1980s. So we had to come up with some believable story for a transition of a business that had a heritage like this.
And what did you come up with? You know,
what they did was they decided that the two partners, one of whom was passed away and the other of whom was retiring, in the Soviet times had made basically uniforms and wedding dresses, which was permissible under Soviet times. And then they had been kind of ahead of the curve in turning that into a business in the 90s. So we had to kind of play with the ages and kind of give a sense of both, you know, sort of pride and patriotism of people who had taken something from Soviet times and improved upon it, as opposed to created a new business, because in Russia, the assumption is that anybody who has money got it by dark means.
I mean, here in the States, Ugly Betty had this unexpected charm to it. How much did the tone of the show change with the Russian version?
Well, there was one very interesting moment that made it very Russian. In the first episode, the secretary, Betty, is looking for a job. It's all she wants. And she interviews at this place, and it goes very badly because everybody in this place is beautiful. You know, the theme of the show is that beautiful people rule the world, and that's universal. So she goes into this place, and she's been humiliated, and she thinks it's not going to happen. And then she gets a phone call at home, and she's being offered the job. The Russian actress, when she got that phone call, burst into tears, just deep, deep tears. And there was an executive from America, from Sony, who saw that moment and said, "Oh, my God, what is the happiest moment of her life? Why is she crying?" And the Russian said, no, you don't understand. In Russia, people don't jump up and down and celebrate happiness. Any happiness is a cause for tears.
Oh, my God.
He didn't believe it. But finally, there was a focus group, and that was the highest rated moment of the episode, was when she burst into tears on The Good Mood.
I gather you essentially introduced the concept of the sitcom to Russia and the concept of the live studio audience. Did Russia even know about a laugh track? And where did the version of Ugly Betty fit into this?
Well, Ugly Betty was more of a telenovela, so that didn't have a live audience. But The Nanny was the first soap opera that we produced in Russia with a visionary channel guy. It was new for them, and he was sort of nervous about it. So we were ready to shoot it and brought in a live audience, you know, like we do in America. It was about 40 or 50 people, I would say, and the show started. And in rehearsals, we told the actors, you know, hold here for a laugh. And the actors came to the first joke and dead silence. And then the next joke, dead silence. And we looked around at the audience, and these people were mostly older, and they had absolutely no context or experience with, you know, what they were supposed to do. So that was a big disaster. And the head of the channel started to panic and said, "Listen, this sitcom thing isn't going to work. Why don't we rewrite it and make it a drama?" We said, "Oh, I don't know about that." Hmm. So in the end, we ended up putting in canned laughter like they used to do here in the 50s and 60s.
Right.
And it worked.
James, after all these years translating TV, I mean, that's essentially what you've done from culture to culture. What have you learned about how we, and kind of we universally here, how we seek and consume and want entertainment?
There's one theme that if it's in a show, I found it works, whether it's an adaptation or an original, which is the effort to be decent in a world that doesn't reward decency. That's a feeling that is kind of universal. So I found that both with crime dramas and soap operas and love stories and, you know, even sitcoms of, you know, the struggle to do the right thing. There are several genres that don't particularly travel well. Courtroom dramas, for example, the American ones, our systems are so different.
Yeah.
And the expectation here is of basically fairness, and the expectation almost everywhere else I've worked is that you're screwed.
So I always love the Law and Order episodes where they get a Russian perp on the show. Have you ever?
Believe me, one thing in America, and it does work the other way around. It's once my Russian got pretty good, people started asking me to play the American bad guy on the Russian shows. So I was the Amerikanskaya Akula Kapitalizma, which means the American shark of capitalism.
Television executive James Cramer. He's traveled the world over, helping to adapt American TV shows for global audiences. James, great to meet you. Thank you.
Oh, thank you so much, Marco. A pleasure.